This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
From the 913, I miss hearing your soothing voice, Vern, going old school, listener number 16. American Beauty, it's okay, but 7 is a masterpiece. 7's great. I doubt Unicero has seen 7, but it's a good movie.
No, I don't watch very many movies. I'm not a movie guy.
I mean, American Beauty is fantastic. The movie 7 is really good, too.
I think I've only been to the theaters for 2 movies.
Yeah, I don't really go to theaters anymore.
Yeah, 2 movies. Yeah. I watch Dragon Ball Super, Broly, and Us.
Of course.
That's it. That's all I watched. I've not been in a movie since February.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, man. I don't really have to go to movie theaters because, like, I don't date anybody. And
no, that's not true. I went to go see Elf last week.
In theater?
Yeah, they had Alamo Draft House had a thing. So I went to go see Elf.
So you go get, like, a little tossed and watch some movies?
I didn't get drunk, but I went to go watch it.
You didn't get a drink or anything?
No. I wouldn't feel an alcohol on a Tuesday night.
Did you get any popcorn?
No, because it's really expensive. Like, the food is really expensive at Alamo Draft House. I was looking at the menu. I was like, oh, this ain't about to happen.
No. That's why I try to stay away from that stuff.
I'm about to call one of them payday loan companies and get one of them out to afford to buy food over there.
It's almost worse than, like, when you go to, like, Sonic and you're like, I'll take cheese sticks and some fries and a drink. And then they're like, $12.50.
Yeah, Sonic is – I used to work there. I used to look at the price. I was like, man, I'd never pay for this.
We kind of tease this ahead of time, but I feel like the Chiefs do a really good job at burying teams. It might also be, like, impeccable timing, but, like, I just feel like they're just, like, the team that just, like, puts teams to bed. They just did this to the Patriots. I think finally the Chiefs are that team that, like, buried the hatchet, because right after the Chiefs, like, beat the Patriots, you couldn't even go on a victory lap before the Patriots were back in the news again with scandal. And we'll read exactly what that is, because they're literally facing another Spygate scandal. You think about the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Like, coming off a high, they came to Arrowhead last year. They get into the AFC Championship game, played the New England Patriots. You beat the Jaguars. After that, they just disappeared. They were no longer the same Jags anymore. Then Jalen Ramsey all of a sudden wants out of Jacksonville. You played him again this year. Their linebacker got kicked out of the game because he wanted to fight. Made a dramatic scene leaving the stadium. Think about the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Cincinnati hasn't been good for a while, but the Chiefs are the one that basically put them to bed. For some poor reason, they decided to flex Cincinnati and the Chiefs last year and put Andy Dalton in prime time against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it absolutely just diminished him and the rest of that team.
That was fun. I love that game.
They even, like, benched Andy Dalton this year on his birthday, October 29th. And before that, it was that game where, like, Cincinnati was like, oh, damn. Like, this team that we just played is so far ahead of us that we have so much ground to make up that we can't do that in the next 2 years. Buried, gone, done. And now maybe they just did it to the Patriots. Now, again, I know that you probably heard the stories, but the Patriots finally admit to violating the NFL policy. The Patriots also admit that they did not inform the league about plans to shoot the episode, calling it an unintended oversight. When questioned, the crew immediately turned over all footage to the league and cooperated fully. That's like when a guy gets pulled over for a DUI, and before the officer can say how much have you had to drink, he just puts both of his arms out the window and just has the guy arrest him. That's what the New England Patriots crew did.
He just has a breathalyzer in the vehicle, and he just blows into it. Like, here you go, officer.
There it is. I'm done. And so now, obviously, we wait to see how or if the NFL punishes the Pats. Now, according to Bill Belichick, he spoke about it today. I heard about this, and evidently this is our production people on the TV show that were there, and I have absolutely nothing to do with what we have absolutely nothing to do with. Anything that is produced or direct or shoot from, that was, of course, on WEEI. I have never seen any of their tapes or anything else. This is something that we 100% have zero involvement with. This is something you'd have to talk to the production people about and what they're doing. This, again, was at 3:30 yesterday. The NFL has launched an investigation into New England Patriots over the allegations a team staffer illegally recorded the Cincinnati Bengals sideline during Sunday's game. According to Adam Schefter, he said the Patriots were credentialed by the Browns, the home team, to shoot that day for a segment called, quote, Do Your Job, which spotlights the key Patriots staffers behind the scene. Schefter says a team official for the Bengals saw the videographer who was wearing Pat's shirt and reported to the league. The NFL confiscated the video, according to Schefter, and they're currently reviewing the footage to see if it was any attempt or a spy. Of course, more news comes out. And Bill Belichick, the last time that this took place in 2007 when the Patriots illegally recorded the New York Jets defensive coaches during a September 2007 game, Belichick was fined $500K and the Pats were fined $250,000 and the team was docked a first-round pick in 2008. This is where you hate to see it, but it's also kind of funny because Tom just got beat by the third quarterback of the trio moving forward in the new revamped NFL. It's interesting. And it's interesting that you have the New England Patriots who were at the top of the NFL for so long. Now, granted, they're still 10-3. The rest that I can talk about is the fact that New England's going down in typical New England fashion. 2007, the Spygate happens. The deflated balls thing happens with Tom Brady where there's just like PSI involved. And now all of a sudden you're at the very end where they're filming a documentary show called Do Your Job. And on a day in which we remember that the movie Ocean's 12 came out, this just sounds like one of those types of movies. Like this just sounds like people in New England's organization has everybody kind of moving around doing their job. And in fact, this kind of seems like the narrative that the New England Patriots have is that they'll just never be accepted by anybody that followed the NFL for the last 15 years because there's all these types of allegations around them. If this is the case versus the Pats and it gets any worse at the end of an era, it just makes it feel like this is just super fitting for the New England Patriots. That if, in fact, they did do this where they're coaching, they're literally video recording coordinators, which are sending out play signals. Like, I don't understand how that is part of a documentary called Do Your Job. I get it that you're doing this and you're trying to make it funny and you have all your videographers are like, hey, here's all our tapes, here's our stuff. Just do it. All this is all you need. The thing that's crazy is you've just got to be able to, like, get away from this. And the Patriots always seem to find themselves back in a type of loophole that is this type of cheating narrative. Jets, deflated footballs, and now this with the sense, like they're in Cleveland. They got credentials. Like, why aren't you just doing this? It doesn't make sense. And it just makes sense to me that this is how the New England Patriots would go down. And of course, the Chiefs can be the team that was like, you know what? Pat Mahomes came in, was the youngest quarterback to beat New England in Foxborough since 2000. He had never beaten Tom Brady. Now he beats Tom Brady. The Patriots have lost three games to the three biggest contenders in the AFC when it comes to the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Texans. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, they just got beat at home. All these numbers that made all this sense for the New England Patriots, and now all of a sudden you have these allegations of another Spygate, and it just seems fitting that when it's all said and done in New England, that this is the one thing that's finally going to be like, you know what, you're fined again, you're suspended for this, and then all of a sudden Belichick and Brady are both like, you know what, we're done. And, of course, it's the Chiefs to get the last big win against them, which would be the Chiefs burying the New England Patriots like they've done so many other teams. But it just kind of reminds me of the movie Goodfellas. Like, Tom Brady's probably Ray Liotta. Bill Belichick is Robert De Niro in the movie. And Josh McDaniel is Joe Pesci. Like, I could see Josh McDaniel going and messing with a made man. And then when he thinks everything's great, the floor gets swept underneath him. Robert De Niro in the movie Goodfellas tries to tell people to stay away from the flashy stuff, fly under the radar, don't make yourself noticeable. His buddy gets a fur jacket, wife gets a pink Cadillac, all this type of stuff, doesn't like it. Ray Liotta, the main guy, handles everything, but when it's all over and it all comes crashing down, completely frantic. What have we seen from Tom Brady lately? Completely frantic. Mad at his receivers, no trust, the team's getting booed in Foxborough, all this type of stuff. It just seems like this is what happens to New England. But it also seems like this is the type of stuff that the Chiefs always tend to be able to do to teams. They tend to be the next team moving forward. The quarterback's there, the receiver, the tight end, the head coach. They've got a little bit of money to spend, so that's kind of nice. So they can get even better when it comes to, like, weapons that they need moving forward. But it just seems like this is just super fitting for the New England Patriots, who a lot of people think that they are just the, you know, there's like an asterisk next to their name. But again, you can't take away 6 Super Bowls, 8 appearances. It's just kind of fitting that the 2 losses they have are to Eli Manning, who balled last night. By the way, from the text line, I worked at Sonic 2, Chris Unicero. Did yours do what mine did? Made bacon once at 6 a.m.?
Yeah. No, it was 5:30 at the location I worked at. I told all my friends and family, don't order bacon after 8 a.m. If you do it, it's probably going to be a little, like, it's going to be really crispy, and it's going to be two and a half hours old where I was at.
I like it, as long as it's crispy.
I'm not a big crispy bacon. I like it hot, and I like it like some crisp on it, but I like the fat to be, like kind of a little.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that description. Savory.
Yeah.
I had a guy one time I went out to breakfast with, and they were like, what would you like for your side? Sausage patties, links, bacon. He was like, bacon, and can you make it limp? And I was like, nobody orders bacon that way. Like, don't use that descriptive word.
They say what for bacon?
Limp.
Limp?
Yeah, he wanted his bacon limp. Like,
what the hell is...
That's how he wanted it. I don't really care. Like, I don't ever order bacon because I think it's like a waste to, like, get that as your breakfast side. Like, I'm always sausage patties, never links.
I always do bacon. I don't know. Like, I'm risky with. I think getting most people sausage is a little risky. You know,
patties are fine.
I know.
The links are weird because they snap because the coating's still on it. So
yeah,
the
links sometimes be tasting weird,
and they're slick.
They are slick,
and that messes with me.
Yeah, no, because you be especially if you try to get them with the fork.
No, and then
you
it
try
pops.
To get them with the fork.
Yeah, and then it pops when you
yeah.
poke
oh,
it in
it
there.
Oh, it pops and then it hurts.
And some people are like, "I like the snap."
I don't like
the hell
that.
With that.
I mean, the patties I prefer, but I don't be eating a whole lot of sausage like that.
Go to Waffle House and get you the All Star Special.
I'm a bacon guy. I go when if I go to if I go to IHOP, bacon.
Yeah,
bacon.
Put bacon on top of your biscuits and gravy.
No.
I might need to go do a homecoming at Waffle House tonight. Like, I would literally go there for... I would eat Waffle House sober, I swear to God. I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
My go-to is IHOP. I don't eat at IHOP sober very much.
Yeah.
I'm, like,
you're
out of... If I, if I
waffles?
Go... If I... Yeah, I... At IHOP, yes. But if at home, waffles. But if I... Like, I out of 10 times, I probably go to IHOP sober 2 times out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's a good ratio, I think.
I once Ubered to Waffle House.
You were dedicated.
I even told the guy, I was like, hey, man, I'll get you whatever you want if you sit in the parking lot. I'll only take 10 minutes.
You were dedicated if you Ubered to the Waffle House.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't driving. I didn't want to do that. Always safe when I drive. I told the guy, too. He was like, hey, man, if you chill in the parking lot, I'll literally get you whatever you want. He was like, nah, man, I got to get back on the road. I was like, all right. And I just Ubered home. I was like, you don't want a free meal? He's like, no, dude, I don't want one.
No, he's trying to get that money. He's trying to get that grip. That's what he's doing.
That's only going to be about 10 minutes. I feel like homecomings are special, but this type of homecoming could be maybe a little too much.
Bing at night.
Just talked about how the Patriots might be buried. So here's this. Tom Brady has sold his house, final year of his deal, can't be franchise tagged, and Tom Brady has now stepped down as the honorary co-chair of the Best Buddies Challenge. Julian Edelman and Jason Tatum will take over. Brady still will serve as a global ambassador.
That's the sign right there. Yeah. That's the sign right
when
there.
When you give it up charities, man.
When you give up your chair to charity. Oh, now we know.
Is that what's going to happen? Like, is Tom Brady going to just, like, be done with the Patriots? Then he's going to move back to California, and then the Chargers and be like, hey, Phillip's done. What do you want to do, play one more year? And then you got to play Brady twice a year in Los Angeles?
I can see him just retiring.
That's what I hope he does.
I can see him just saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm tired of playing football.
Like, there's nothing else he could possibly accomplish.
Like, what does he have to accomplish left? 6 Super Bowls and 9 appearances.
Yeah, 9. I got that wrong. I forgot about the Philly special. Yeah.
And
9
like, what
Super
Bowls. Is, what does he have to gain from playing more football?
He's
like,
won MVP a few times.
Yeah.
He's had an undefeated season.
Right now, he's the greatest player of all time. Like, I mean, we'll see what happens with Mahomes or some of these other guys, but right now, greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And I don't – what do you have left? You know, it's like when Jordan retired – 3 times or however many times he retired, is like he looked at it as like, what do I have left to do? You know? And as if I were Tom Brady, I'd be that way too.
Yeah, when Jordan retired, he's like, I've won 3. What do I do now? And then he just finally like woke up. He's like, damn, I could probably go win 3 more if I really wanted to. He did.
He was out for a couple years, like, you know what? This baseball thing didn't work. Maybe I should just go win 3 more.
Yeah. And like the thing that's crazy about Tom is that, like, you know, Tom doesn't need anything else. And the other thing too is that, like, Tom Brady has the greatest like NFL story. He has one of the greatest NFL stories.
I think he's got like the greatest. Like, you just talk about like going from rags to riches.
Yeah,
he is the rags to riches story in the NFL.
And like, I don't think he grew up poor. I don't think that's what we're getting.
We're talking about the story of the NFL.
Like, you get picked so late, you went to a great university, you won a national title there, and then yet you're still like an afterthought. And then all of a sudden you're behind this guy, you finally get your chance, and then you put this New England team on the map for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great story.
He's the greatest third-day pick in the history of the NFL. Like, the greatest 4-6 ever. I mean, the greatest value pick of all time.
That's going to be on his tombstone.
I mean, think about how many Chiefs fans talked themselves into Ricky Stanzi or Tyler Bray as the starting quarterback for this franchise because of Tom Brady's story.
Kyle Orton had some really good-looking bangs, too. I miss that, man.
I wasn't a fan of Kyle Orton.
I mean, I don't think a lot of people were.
Nah. I mean, Todd Haley sure wasn't.
No. I liked Tyler Thigpen, though.
I liked Big Ben. I actually kind of hoped that they would do something with him and like build more of that read option with him. Because
when he went down the sidelines and caught that pass,
yeah.
Oh man, I jumped out of my house.
Larry Johnson was not the right running back for that scheme. No. If they would have had Jamaal Charles, oh man, that would have been so much fun to watch him run. They wouldn't have had to run the pistol.
A lot of people say, imagine if Mahomes had Jamaal Charles. It'd be disgusting.
Yeah, it'd be gross. Imagine if Mahomes had Kareem Hunt right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Text line. Technically, if he's the greatest of all time, he's here. That's just the greatest pig of all time. I don't understand some people. We talked about a homecoming coming in town. Drew Locke will return to Arrowhead as the villain. I think it's funny, too, because we talk about when Drew Locke was drafted. I thought it was just kind of, I mean, for me and Chris, like, we're both wrestling fans. It's no secret. Chris does a podcast every week. If you want to follow that, you can go ahead and plug
yourself. Heat Magnet Podcast, 435 Podcast Network.
There you go. And I think it's crazy because when Drew Locke got drafted, and he got drafted by Denver, the first thing that goes into my head is like, oh, this is great. This is, if he is the quarterback that some people think he can be moving forward, he's a franchise quarterback that once a year has to return to his homeland where he's going to have to play against a team that you have to for sure assume that he grew up loving, a team that he went and saw, a team that he went to that stadium and rooted for, a lot of his friends, most of his friends. Of course, he played high school football at Lee Summit. And this is what he said when he was drafted all the way back at the beginning of the year.
I think it's even cooler to be in the AFC West and, you know, get to go home to Kansas City, get to play the Chiefs, get to kind of end up being the bad boy. You know, I grew up Kansas City kid, went to Columbia to play for the University of Missouri, and you know, now I can't do anything else in the state of Missouri. I got to go to Denver and come back and beat the Chiefs one day.
I mean, good luck, but that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. Like, when you're a wrestling fan, like, you love when the face turns heel, and when he got drafted by the Broncos, that's exactly what happened. And I'm sure that homecoming has been absolutely fantastic for Drew Locke since he was a freshman in high school. He was the high school player of the year. Every year, basically, he played. He was always watched. He had scouts at his games when he played at Lee Summit. Then he went to Mizzou. Now that he's in the league, when he doesn't play the Chiefs, all the Mizzou fans, Carrington Harrison in general, tweet out emojis of Tigers watching this kid absolutely blow the Texans off the train tracks when they go and play at Houston. And then now he comes to Kansas City, and it's kind of interesting because it's like you're attached to the Chiefs. And now you've got this kid coming in town. And he's been good in his two games as a starter. And I think it's kind of interesting because we heard the report last week that Joe Flacco's been, like, very instrumental in his success, where a lot of times we're like, vet quarterbacks kind of play that, like, older jock guy that's just like, I'm not going to show you what to do. No one showed me what to do. Just figure it out. And Joe Flacco, I mean, he can't really show Drew Lock how to grow facial hair because Drew Lock just has one of those, he has those nice, clean faces. And Joe Flacco's just, like, hairy from his eyebrows.
He'll grow into his facial hair.
I don't think he will.
5 years from now, he's probably going to have a nice beard.
I really don't think he
will. His daddy has facial hair, so I think he's going to get it, too. He's just, like, when I was his age, I couldn't get the facial hair, but now I...
You're coming along.
My game is unlocked.
I think I talked you into it.
No, I've been wanting to do this for years.
BK's even grown out a beard.
Yeah, he's got it. Yeah, he does. I have noticed he is letting it grow.
He said he did the No Shave November. And now he's just trimming it because he likes it, and so does the lady.
Yeah, I mean, I
you got to believe it.
I would grow my sideburns out, but they didn't connect like that until a few years ago. And then I noticed it when I grew it out. I was like, you know what? I actually like this.
That's right.
So it's just the game now.
Yeah, so Drew Lock's played two games as a starter for the Denver Broncos. In his first one, he played the Chargers, where they won 23-20. He was 18 of 28 for 134, two touchdowns and an interception. That was an 84.5 QBR. That's not great. That's something that he did against the Chargers. He also did it at home in Denver. Then he went to Houston. And he went 22 of 27, threw for 309, three touchdowns, one interception. It is 136 QBR. He was only sacked once. And he was throwing the ball for 11.44 yards an attempt. That's pretty damn good. Like, I'll give him credit. That's pretty damn good. Now, sample size tells us everything. Those are two games and the only two games he's played. Now it's off to Kansas City in a town that he grew up in against a defense that has a defensive coordinator that seems to have found its gel and what works in this defense, and it makes you think that maybe there's a chance that the first game that Drew Lock played in, his team rallied behind his guy. They won 23-20 against a division rival at home in his first start. Got his first dub. I always believe in the rally behind. That's just what happens when teams get a new quarterback in there that they kind of believe in, that this guy could be the future. He's throwing the ball around, and it's positive. The second game, we talked about it earlier, he played against Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans at their place and absolutely whipped him into next week. 309 yards passing, three touchdowns, one interception with the 136 QBR. That's fantastic. He was 22 of 27. He was just literally probably the best player on the field in that Sunday's game against Houston Texans. Now he's got to come to Kansas City. And I understand that a lot of you are like, well, the Chiefs have played against quarterbacks in the past that have just not been good at Kansas City in their first appearance. That's very true, other than Deshaun Watson. But the thing about Drew Lock coming to Kansas City is this is going to be a rude awakening. I have a feeling about this, that when he comes back home, the only person that cares that he comes back home to Arrowhead are the diehard Mizzou fans, the Drew Lock family, and Drew Lock himself. I root for Drew Lock. I hope he does good. I hope he's successful. His family owns restaurants in the city that I live in. I've been to them multiple times. They're very nice establishments. But when you play against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs that have Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill, all playing at the top of their levels, all gelling together with a defensive coordinator that seems to be able to do very well when it comes to adjusting once he sees what he sees, and a quarterback who's only going to be in his third start, I feel like this homecoming could be a little bit overwhelming. I could be wrong. Drew Lock could come into Arrowhead and throw 27 times and complete 22 of them for 309 yards, three touchdowns and an interception, but I just don't think Andy Reid and Spagnuolo let that happen when it comes to this team against that offense in the Denver Broncos, who will be maybe without Noah Fant. I believe Noah Fant's going to try to play the tight end that's got a connection with Drew Lock, but it just seems like maybe, just maybe, this good feel story might just be a little too much and the Drew Lock hype train might come to a little bit of a stall. Now, they play Detroit and Oakland after the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a possibility that he could go 4-1 as a starter. I just don't like his chances on the homecoming back to Arrowhead. Power rankings change every week, but it's starting to be clear of who the AFC contenders are.
Bing at night. Download the radio.com app to listen to 610 Sports Radio wherever you are.
Yeah, I gotta have white bread with my stew. Like beef stew, I'm down with that.
I like it on the side. I don't dip it in the stew.
What do you use it on? You just eat it as you go?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
by itself?
I put some butter on it, and I eat it that way.
I get nasty with it.
I don't do that.
I get knuckle deep in there with the bread.
My brother
the
does.
Bottom of the bowl.
My brother did that.
That's
and
right.
I was like, that's gross.
Nah, your brother's a good person.
I know.
You got to get in there, man. You got to make sure you get there.
I don't like, I'm not like, I don't like when my food's touched like that.
Oh, so you're like a separator?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't do that. I just like don't, like, for instance, like, I don't like if it's like breakfast food. If I put syrup on waffles or pancakes, it can't be on the same plate as my bacon or my egg. It just can't.
Yeah, I'm down with that because syrup's just so over the top sweet.
Yeah, and I don't like the sweet and salty like that in
God, no.
very limited situations. If it's like chocolate covered pretzels, I'll do that. Yeah. But I definitely don't want no salty meat with no something sweet on it. It's disgusting.
Boy, Jameis Winston's kind of interesting to me this year. He's 2 touchdown passes behind Lamar Jackson for the league lead, 7 yards behind Dak Prescott for the passing spot. And leads the entire NFL in interceptions with 23 by a huge margin. And he could finish number 1 in all 3 of those stats. I just ran across that. I'm not really sure why that's interesting to me, because every time I watch Jameis Winston on Sunday, it seems like the sky is falling, but it's really not, because they just need to move on from Jameis. He's just so inconsistent, but he's consistently inconsistent.
I tell everybody to take him on your fantasy squad.
You should.
If you can. He's amazing.
I mean, it's going to start off terrible, but by the end of it, you're going to be like, okay.
Yeah, he'll throw like
30 points.
He'll throw for 350 yards with 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
And one of those picks will be for 6.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's an amazing fantasy quarterback, but I never would want to build around him.
So in the next 3 weeks, when according to NFL stats on Twitter, the Chiefs will play the 14th ranked team, the 20th ranked team, and the 23rd ranked team, according to power rankings. When it comes to the power rankings, the top 10, Ravens, Niners, Saints, Chiefs, Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Vikings, Rams, Bills. It would appear that the AFC is getting ready to be set up, according to power rankings, that the AFC could be getting set up for a Ravens-Chiefs matchup in Baltimore, which... maybe for some, you have to kind of flip the script, right? So, like, we just talked about, well, we say we. Like, I just talked about last week when Chiefs and Patriots was the main topic. And we talked about how the matchup seemed a little watered down, because at first it was like, oh, both these teams are going to be in contention for the Super Bowl. Both these teams are always in the top of their divisions. They should play each other again in like early or like middle January to see who goes to the Super Bowl. And then like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have been doing their thing. And it seems like they're going to lock up the 1 seed eventually. In fact, I think they can lock a bye with a win this week and a Patriots loss. As Patriots will play the Cincinnati Bengals, which you know that because they've been spying on their team since last week. But, what's interesting about this is if you look at the power rankings and you look at where the Chiefs and the Ravens stand, it would appear that we could possibly get a Chiefs-Patriots or a Chiefs-Ravens matchup again for the AFC Championship game this time, which is interesting because last week when you talk about the game against the Patriots and the Chiefs where it was no longer almost like it was Chiefs versus Patriots, it's more so it was like, can Patrick Mahomes beat Tom Brady? Can the Patriots continue to play bad against good teams? And all of those things were a factor. Like, Tom Brady lost to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes finally beat him. Patrick Mahomes won at New England, something no quarterback under 25 had done since New England. The Patriots were held under 300 total yards on offense. Tom Brady looked terrible. And everything was kind of focused around, like, this is the third time that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will square off. And we all know that the third time is the tough time. Which makes you realize when Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson square off again, it'll be the third time that Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes will square off. Patrick Mahomes is 2-0. Both times that Patrick Mahomes has won, they've been very close. The first time, you remember, was the 4th-and-9 play, where Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill just kind of played backyard football for about 14 seconds. And Tyreek Hill on a ankle and a half, if you want to call it that, that time last year, basically one ankle, caught that pass, ran up the sideline, set the Chiefs up to go to overtime. Chiefs win. That was also the game where Patrick Mahomes hits DeMarcus Robinson with the no look. That set the world on fire. And he hit Spencer Ware with that pass on the sideline that got him a first down and moved the chains. There were three plays in that game that Patrick Mahomes made that I think at that point in the season, in the regular season last year, solidified him as the MVP. He just couldn't be stopped. And then this year when Lamar and Patrick Mahomes squared off, I believe it was the Chiefs' home opener. Chiefs had started off the season in Jacksonville, then they went and played against the Oakland Raiders, and then they came back home against Baltimore in week three. And it was interesting because Patrick Mahomes wasn't 100%. He had the ankle that had been kind of roughed up against in that Oakland game, but yet he still somehow beat Lamar. And then you kind of think about, well, if Pat Mahomes needs to beat Tom Brady, when does Lamar Jackson need to beat Patrick Mahomes? We talked about how Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes are all the quarterbacks moving forward, and maybe Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are set up to be that combo. If they do play again this year and the Chiefs get the 2 seed and they both win all the way through the playoff system, Patrick Mahomes will then have to go to Lamar Jackson's house, something he hasn't had to do yet. Lamar Jackson will then try to do something that he's never done, beat Patrick Mahomes, again, in a small sample size. It would then be probably last year's MVP versus this season's MVP, and it just shows you how great the turnover success is in the NFL. Because if that game does happen and the magnitude of that game that could be, you would forget about New England. You wouldn't even think about their dynasty anymore, because then you would watch a game that could quite possibly go down to the wire once again. And then you would look at yourself and everybody would be like, oh, my God, both of these quarterbacks are under the age of 25. Both of these quarterbacks are their franchise quarterbacks. Both of these quarterbacks could have MVP accolades in their first 3 seasons. This is the future of the NFL. But to be fair, Patrick Mahomes did beat him last year with Tyreek Hill, who was a little bit injured. He beat him this year with a little bit of a bum ankle. And if we could fast forward to the championship games this year, I think everybody would all be down to watch the Niners and Saints again and to watch the Chiefs and Ravens again and let that decide who the better team is. Because out of those 4 teams on both sides of the divisions, I think those are the 2 teams that everybody would sign up, stand in the front of the line and say, I'm down to see those games again. And I know a lot of people get upset in playoff scenarios where you're like, oh, we're going to watch this again. Like in college football, watching Alabama and Clemson play every year upset people. But if they're the 2 best teams, sign me up. And maybe that's something that we could see moving forward if the Chiefs and the Ravens play again. But remember, if we're going to be fair, we're going to talk about how Patrick Mahomes has to beat Tom Brady and how that hangs over his head. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I know Tom Brady's been in the league so many years. He's 42 years old. Both these quarterbacks are in their very young years of their 20s. But, I mean, sign me up if that's where this season ends. If it's the AFC Championship game to see who goes to the Super Bowl and it's Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson and it's Jimmy Garoppolo versus Drew Brees on both sides, because if you think about where the power rankings line, it's pretty obvious, right? The Ravens are at the top, the Niners are after that, the Saints are third, and the Chiefs are fourth. Those are your top 4 teams. Those are also the most healthiest of the teams in the top 5. I get the Patriots are there. Patriots aren't that healthy. Dante Hightower had an ice wrap around his knee. Tom Brady was then seen at the end of the game with a gigantic wrap around his elbow. There's something clearly not right there. But when you think about the top 5 power ranking teams, and you think about the Niners and the Saints, the Chiefs and the Ravens, and where we're at in this season, it's kind of shaping up. You down with that, Chris? You down to see the Ravens and Chiefs play each other again?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say this. With Patrick Mahomes, I'm not really afraid. Like, I hear people say, well, I'm afraid of the Titans. I'm afraid of this. We got Patrick Mahomes. I'm not really afraid of any team. Like, if this was Alex Smith, sure.
Yeah.
You have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because
we don't need to be afraid of anybody anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you need to be. Afraid is.
I'm hearing people say, I'm afraid of the Titans.
They scare the hell out of me.
I'm not afraid of the Titans.
I'm not afraid. They scare me.
They don't scare. That means they're afraid of them.
I'm not afraid. The
Titans don't scare me.
They don't. They scare me a bit.
They don't scare me.
Derrick Henry has absolutely shredded the Chiefs. They have a very good defense, and they have a quarterback that gives the Chiefs fits. Now, granted, the way
Ryan
the Titans,
Tannehill?
Did he not give him fits the last time he played? Ryan Tannehill's been the best quarterback in the NFL the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, the Chiefs' defense has been really good after that loss.
Right, and they had some special team blunders, right?
Yeah. I'm just not afraid of Ryan Tannehill. Like, what the hell is there to be afraid of?
I don't think it's just Ryan Tannehill. I think it's a team as a whole.
I mean, Derrick Henry's a good running back. I mean, you know, but, like, he ain't going to be enough to beat the Chiefs. They're going to need Ryan Tannehill, and I'm not worried about Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. I know he's playing well right now, but I'm not worried, and I'm definitely not worried about him when Patrick Mahomes is our quarterback.
Right. He's already beat Patrick Mahomes this year.
Yeah, and that's cool, but
Pat threw for 400-plus yards.
And that's cool, but again, the defense was not playing well at that time. The defense is playing much better then.
Because Derrick Henry was running all over him.
No, they didn't play well against the pass either, because that final drive, they were terrible.
Yeah, that final drive, Tannehill scrambled all over.
Yeah,
Frank Clark was quoted as saying, I didn't think they were going to have Tannehill run that physical.
They were bad. Like, they were bad at the end of that game. I'm just not worried about the Titans, because, like, I got Patrick Mahomes. I got the defense playing it the way they are right now, and I'll take that against any team in the NFL right now.
That's fair. I'm just saying. When it comes to the playoffs, I'm down to watch the Chiefs and Ravens play again. I know a lot of people want the easiest matchup.
Yeah, I'm down
matchup,
for whoever.
But,
whoever.
God, give me Lamar versus Pat for the AFC Championship in Baltimore.
To me, the Ravens are a better team than the Titans, by far.
Well, like, yeah.
Yeah, I
Ravens
to me,
are the best team in football.
I kind of lean towards the Niners a little bit.
That's fair.
Even though the Niners lost to the Ravens, like, yeah. To me, the Niners feel like a more complete team than the Ravens do. I don't look at the Ravens passing game the same way because – I don't think they have a Kittle. Like, the Ravens don't have a Kittle like the Niners.
I mean, Mark Andrews has been a stud this year.
Andrews has been good, but Andrews hasn't been Kittle.
He's also hurt.
Kittle is like Gronk. He's the closest thing we're going to have to Gronk.
Fair. I mean, they're definitely way better off in the quarterback situation in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
The running game, that's a toss-up, I think. I think Mark Ingram being the sole guy there, and then also, like, their way they run the ball is different. But then again, I mean, the NFC, I mean, good luck whoever comes out of that division. The NFC is loaded. AFC... The AFC kind of seems like right now it's like the Chiefs and Ravens, and that's like at the top. And then like right below them is like Buffalo, Tennessee, Houston. But I mean, think about that. Like,
I would put the Patriots in Houston in like a tier two, and then I would put everyone else in a tier three.
I wouldn't put the Patriots in tier two.
I still think like
nothing tells me the Patriots should be anywhere near the top tier.
Like tier two, yeah. No. Like I think tier two. Yeah, I mean, still. Bill Belichick, and I mean the Patriots, say what you want about how bad that offense was. We have been shocked if they have Patrioted their way to another win against the Chiefs. Would we have been shocked? No.
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 But that's, it wasn't going
to
happen.
It wasn't going to happen, but we wouldn't have been shocked if they would have Patrioted their way to another win.
And the reason they didn't is because Steve Spagnuolo was able to adjust. And
Steve Spagnuolo is great against Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and he's also great when he goes home to Boston. I mean, he's got all his connections. He knows where his hot spots are.
He's great against his favorite. He's great against his favorite NFL team.
He knows what honey to get. But, hey, Spags had it rolling when it comes to the blitz against the New England Patriots. But I hope we see more of this type of stuff moving forward. Bing at night. Chris Lucero, Dusty Likens, this is Bink at Night on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for having us along. Got about an hour and 10 minutes left. Cut out all the breaks. Got about 40 minutes left. Players only Thursday, Danny Hughes. By the way, Danny Hughes has a birthday coming up. So shout him out a birthday message.
We going to have a cake here or something?
I don't know. Last night they had a bunch of cookies. They were nice.
We need like a cake here. Like,
as long as it's like a cookie cake.
No, just do like a regular.
Or the birthday confetti cake.
Do red velvet. That's the cake. That's the cake you want to have is red velvet.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, it's the best cake.
You're getting called out from the text line.
What'd they say?
Says, he doesn't even watch games, just knows popular names. Andrews has been better than Kittle. Acting like Tannehill hasn't been great.
Tannehill hasn't been – how he's been great for how many games?
I said the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks. Yeah, yeah. I'm not judging him just based off of 6 weeks. I want to see a full season of that.
That's tough to say.
I mean, this is the guy that we saw play in Miami and didn't do anything there.
Yeah, but it's a change of scenery. I always believe in that.
Oh, yeah. I think a change of scenery can help you out. I don't think it changes the kind of quarterback that you are.
So since, where is this? Since week 10, he had week 10 against Kansas City, he had 133 QBR. Next week, he had a 155 QBR. Next week after that, he had a 131. And last week, he had a 140. That's pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not afraid of that. Like, I got Patrick Mahomes.
No, that's fine. Get Patrick Mahomes throw for 400 yards against Tennessee and still lost.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews also has been very good this year. But again, Mark Andrews is also hurt, which we talked about that. I say we because Steven Serta and my guy, we do a 435 podcast. Now we're going to do a Force to Punt podcast. All about fantasy football. Mark Andrews will be evaluated this week. They play Thursday night. In fact, Lamar Jackson even has like some aggravation and it's like, I think it's his hamstring or his quad.
I think it's quad.
Yeah, quad for sure. And he said that he's going to play Thursday. So another interesting development. Like we always talk about the NFL season. It's not how good you are going into week to the playoff weeks. It's basically just about how healthy you are. And like the Ravens, Thursday night game, Lamar Jackson, quad.
That could be dangerous for him because those quad injuries don't get they the more that you keep playing on them, linger.
Yes.
They linger because it's a muscle injury. And the thing you got to worry about is what happens if he takes a hit or he makes a bad cut and he tears it.
Like Baltimore's favored by 15 against New York on Thursday night. Do you think Baltimore can win without Lamar Jackson?
Who's their backup's RG3. Yeah, I would say
at home on a Thursday night.
At home on a Thursday night. I mean, if you're the offensive coordinator, you're not calling him to run.
No.
I would not call a run for
even though
Lamar.
I think he only needs like 60-something yards to pass Michael Vick's
record. I would not. Like, if he scrambles, he scrambles.
Yeah, you can't tell him.
You can't call a run, though. I'm not calling read option. I'm not calling any triple option plays. None of that bleep. I'm just having him go out there and be a pocket passer.
Yeah. It's just tough, and we'll get back to that in a little bit because I'm going to defend that topic that we'll bring back at 8 o'clock. But if we liked what Spags was doing and Spags has it rolling when it comes to the blitz and it's working, keep doing it. I remember when Jay Binkley and I went out to training camp when they all arrived for the first time, when all the players got there in St. Joe. And everybody was talking about this defense because Tyrann Mathieu and they drafted Juan Thornhill. And Chris Jones was coming off his best season as an NFL player. And they signed Frank Clark. And everybody's like, man, this defense got a lot of personality. It's got a lot of guys coming forward. It seems that Spags has it rolling when it comes to this. And I get it. When it comes to defenses and it comes to chemistry with teams, it's always fun when you do it the right way and the numbers show. And the Chiefs' next three quarterbacks, they're going to see Drew Lock, Mitchell Trubisky, and Phil. Like, there's not a better three-system quarter. There's not three better quarterbacks that you could give this defense a test to really kind of give them that other momentum push moving into the playoffs. Pressure is what making this defense good. That's what's causing this defense to be better because what we heard at the start of the season, I heard it numerous times from BK, Carrington, heard it from other guys as well, that the quarterback situation for the Chiefs on defense was the biggest problem, was cornerback play. And I know there's a lot of you out there that probably play Madden and probably watch the NFL and realize that pressure causes quarterbacks to throw it up, and it really doesn't matter who you have at cornerback, they'll pick it off because it's just a lame duck throw that has nothing underneath it. And pressure is what's making the secondary that had so many questions at the beginning make it work smarter, not harder. Like the secondary is reading the quarterback because the secondary is getting – their linebackers and their D tackles and their DNs are starting to put pressure on quarterbacks that they're playing. Now, granted, the last three quarterbacks the Chiefs have played were Tom Brady, which we know what the narrative is now around Tom Brady, that it's probably over, that it's finally hit Tom Brady. The one before that was Derek Carr at Arrowhead, where Derek Carr is now 0-6, throws interceptions, doesn't play well in the cold. It was chilly. And then the quarterback before that was Phillip Rivers. Now, you can't help who you play. That's just what happens on the schedule. You just have to play those guys. But I do believe that repetition and constant delivery and success can cause a defense or a team to be successful and can cause them to glow up together. I don't think that the Baltimore Ravens have the most talent when it comes to the offensive side. but they have the best offense in the NFL. Why? Chemistry and their play design, and it works. Mark Ingram, not the best running back in the NFL. Plays well with Lamar Jackson, that offense. They have a rookie in Hollywood Brown who's doing very well. Nobody knew who Mark Andrews was really before this year started. It just worked because they worked together and they gained momentum no matter who they played. They just started working with that momentum. It's about keeping up with what you're doing right and win out for the rest of the season, and this defense can do that for you. Get to 12-4 and really make the case for that 2 seed if you can get some favors elsewhere. You need Tennessee to kind of knock off Houston, and then you need Houston to knock off Tennessee. You need Buffalo to beat New England, and then everything can look really, really good because then you have tiebreaker over New England. Houston and Tennessee are a full game behind you, so tiebreaker doesn't matter. And then you and the Baltimore Ravens sit at the top of the AFC. You get that bye week, which is so crucial when it comes to resting players. And also you look at 14 points per game the last 3 games in this little tiny winning streak, and you held the Patriots under 300 yards in offense. It seems that they can get one to do it once a game. They seem in the last couple games, they've been able to get that key turnover. Sorensen against the Chargers when they played in that Monday night game at the end of the game. I know that was just a terrible throw by Phillip Rivers, but he was involved with pressure. Phillip Rivers doesn't do well the older he gets with pressure. You look at the Raiders game, right? Derek Carr threw the interception to Juan Thornhill, and he took it to the house for 6. The game was literally over after that pick 6. I don't care what you saw in that game, or you could say that there was so much more time to be played. When Derek Carr threw that pick 6 to Juan Thornhill, the game was absolutely over. I'm not sure that put him up 21-0 or 28 or 7. It was somewhere around there. But after that, the game was over. And the momentum is all you really need on this team. And Spagnuolo knows that, and he's done that very well. Now, he knows how to play against Bill Belichick. That just seems to be kind of like a chink in his armor. He just kind of knows where to get when it comes to Bill Belichick. I think he was part of both of those Giants team that beat him in the Super Bowl. So there's a little bit there with history. But when it comes to Spagnuolo, he's doing exactly what Bob Sutton never could do. And he's doing exactly what this defense was asked to do. Create turnovers, create pressure, shorten the field, and let this offense just get on and off the field and not have to use Mahomes all that well. Spags is beating the bad teams, and what really makes this defense gel at the right time is gaining confidence for this and this Chiefs team, because that's what you need. You need this defense to build character, get healthy, have the dog, and have everybody in position ready for the playoffs, because that's exactly what you have to do when it comes to a defense like this. Tyrann Mathieu's played better as the season's gone on. Juan Thornhill's gotten better with experience. Chris Jones has developed his role last year and including this year. The sacks aren't really there this year, but Chris Jones also missed some time. And Frank Clark, I mean, dude, you heard his comments in the locker room the last couple weeks. You're getting some real football from Frank Clark. He dropped a Wild Thornberry's reference. This team's having fun. They're producing, and they're making turnovers happen, and they're giving the offense the ball on a short side of the field, which is causing some people to think that maybe the offense isn't doing what they used to be doing. But that's because they don't have to, because Spags has it rolling when it comes to this defense and the blitz schemes that he's using. We've got an hour left. We got to recap some stuff. We'll also get into Le'Veon Bell and bowling, and I don't understand why people are freaking out about it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.